Sing praises unto God. That's a command found in God's Word. We ought to be folks that have good Christian music as a part of our lives, not just a part, not just on Sundays. Not, well, I come and I enjoy watching those folks up there on the platform perform Christian music a few songs per week. This is not a performance. And I was talking to a visitor that came this morning, and they said, we're looking for a church where it's not that way, where it's not a performance and it's not a few people sitting out in the audience watching the most talented musicians. We're as a church family, we're all singing together. That's why we have congregational singing praise unto God. And if you're like me, sometimes it's just a joyful noise. Might not be a skillful noise, but that's all right. And that's all the same to God. He enjoys it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We began last week. We kicked off. This is a practical series. We're going verse by verse tonight. We're going to be going word by word through 1 Corinthians 13. And really, over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing that, going word by word. In Colossians, we were taking anywhere from 1 to 8 verses, kind of those passages during our 19 or 20 week verse by verse study through the book of Colossians on We Preach Christ. But this we're going to be taking, it's only 13 verses. We looked at 4 of them last week, and we're going to be together for 8 or 9 weeks. So we're going to have to break this up a little bit. And what we're looking at is the title of the series is Love, Building Strong Relationships and Mending Broken Ones. We call 1 Corinthians 13 often the love chapter, although the word love is not found anywhere in there. The word charity is found over and over and over again. And we saw last week that word charity is that biblical word agape. It's the highest of the 4 biblical words. Or agapao is also it's used other places. And that word charity, where we see from the Greek, the agape love, the agapao, that word is the same root word of what you find in John 3:16, for God so loved. That's the same root word in the Greek there that comes from that in John 3:16 to what we find in 1 Corinthians 13. And we looked at all of that last week by way of introduction here, and we took at the definition of charity. What is the biblical definition? And it's somewhat what I preached on this morning as well. It's a selfless, sacrificial love that we're living for others, not living for our own needs. And then we looked last week at the description of charity. And we looked in the first 3 verses that charity is described as, welcome back, Jennifer. I see Jennifer Gross. I saw you this morning. She was gone for 2 or 3 weeks. She drove with Zach cross country to college in Florida. And I don't know who gave them the map. They stopped in New York on the way to Florida. That doesn't seem like the quickest route from California to Florida, but what do I know? And so did you have a nice time? We've missed you. Welcome back. Good to see you back. It's been gone a few weeks there. And what we saw that charity is described as better than impressive attributes. Sometimes we look and say, man, I wish I could fill in the blank like so-and-so. I wish I could sing. I wish I could speak. I wish I had the personality. I wish I could earn money. I wish I had this skill. I wish I, whatever it might be. And he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Having biblical charity is better and more important than impressive attributes. It's better and more important than God-given gifts. He said, though in verse number 2, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, he said, if I don't have charity, I am nothing. Remember last week we had the symbol on the platform. A few of you still haven't forgiven me for that. And the loud, annoying symbol. But we talked about, it doesn't matter how wonderful I sound, if it's not coming from a heart of love, there is no impact. There is no profit. It's just noise. And we saw that it's greater. Charity is greater than God-given gifts. Charity is greater last week. We saw than God-given gifts. And then we saw it's greater than miraculous accomplishments. Though I have all faith that I could move mountains and have not charity. And then we saw it's better than good works. I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Give my body to be burned at the stake. Here's a powerful thing. It says if it's not done for the right reasons, it profiteth me nothing. Now, I've heard, and there was decades ago, there was a very famous preacher that preached a fairly famous message across the country. I'm not against it. Preached the message of duty, and that was the idea of do right when you don't feel like it. And I believe in that, so I'm not trying to argue with that or to counteract that, but it was this whole thing about even if you don't feel like living for God, live for God. And I understand that, and I believe there are times that out of character we need to do that, but the Christian life is not meant to be lived out of duty. The Christian life is meant to be lived flowing from a heart of love for God. The motivation is love, not duty. The motivation is I get to, not I have to. The motivation is I want to serve him. I want to please him, not I have to. If I'm going to make it to heaven, here's this long list of rules I have to keep. By the way, there is no long list of rules to keep to get to heaven. It's only by faith in Christ. But sometimes we view the Christian life through the wrong window, through the wrong vein, through the wrong paradigm, through the wrong motivations of, I have to, oh, I got to go to church on Sunday night again. I hope you're here because you want to be. I hope you want to sing together with God's people. I hope you want to open up God's Word and hopefully have something that'll be a help to you. I hope you want to fellowship. Nobody had to force me to go to church. You've heard the story of the man that was 44 years old, and his wife came and knocked on the door. He was in his bedroom there, and she knocked on the door and said, honey, it's Sunday morning. You got to go to church. He said, I don't feel like going to church. He said, I don't like the people. They don't like me. I don't want to go to church. Give me one good reason why I should go to church. And she said, because you're the pastor. And that's a good reason. You need to go to church. That's what you're called to do, right? That's hopefully, and I know that all of us go through seasons. There are times for all of us. We're human. There are times we don't feel like going to church. There are times we don't feel like reading God's Word. There are times we don't feel like being a witness. I get that. None of us are just on top side, on the very top for 50 straight years without a valley of discouragement, without a valley of frustration, maybe disillusionment, maybe even being offended. We're sinful. We shouldn't be, but that can happen. But that ought not be, I hate church, I hate this, but I do it because I have to. No, it's out of love. And he said, charity is greater than good works, and it's more important than good works, I guess I would say, because he said, even if you give everything you have and give your body to be burned, he said, if it's without charity, it profiteth me nothing. We're going to look at three words tonight. The first three words of 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse number 4. I'm going to give you just a simple lesson, I guess you could say, tonight, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. And we can carry it with us. Would you read those first three words aloud? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse number 4. The first three words. Ready? Begin. Charity suffereth long. Would you say that one more time? Charity suffereth long. So we're looking now at the characteristics of biblical charity. If the Bible says it's more important than God-given gifts, it's more important than good works, it's more important than impressive attributes, it's more important than miraculous accomplishments, I want it. And now we're going to look and see, do I have it? How are we going to know that? Based on the description of how charity is described in 1 Corinthians 13, and ask, is that what describes me? Does that describe my interactions with my family? Does that describe my interactions with other Christians? Does that describe my interactions with the lost? Those that don't know Christ as Savior. And the first characteristic today, charity is long-suffering. Charity is long suffering. The Bible here says charity suffereth long. The word long suffering, what does it mean? And I'll give you a few, if you'd like to take notes, I'll give you a few definitions here. To be long suffering in the biblical sense, it's the idea, it's to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. To be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. It's not the first thing that happens and I'm done. Not to lose heart when a challenge comes my way. It's to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. Long-suffering is to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. There is another definition, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be long-suffering is to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. I don't know about you, that's not natural for me. To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. When somebody does something against me, I want to either prove why they're wrong and I was right, or I want to get them back. My natural man wants to revenge. My natural man wants to answer. My natural man wants to defend. And the Bible says, charity suffereth long. We persevere patiently. We bear the offenses and injuries of others. It is also to be mild and slow in avenging. To be mild and slow in avenging. We talked this morning about the superheroes and Avengers, and God's people can be very interesting what they catch out of your messages. And we had one of our young men, Brother Jeremiah, very observant young man, eighth grade, working back there at the sound booth. And he said, you know what, one of the things I liked about your message, he said, you said that you don't really follow superheroes, you haven't seen those movies, you don't know much about that. But then at the World Trade Center, at the Ground Zero, you were wearing a Captain America t-shirt. Was anybody else looking through that critical eye there? It was a gift, what can I say? And so I had never even thought of that. But to be long-suffering is to be mild and slow in avenging. And then lastly, slow to anger, slow to punish. Slow to anger, slow to punish. Now I'm not talking about permissive parenting here. Okay, as parents, we need to be consistent, we need to be biblical. But this idea, when I read, I'm going to read all of those definitions one more time, and I want us to ask ourselves, does that describe me? Does that describe my spirit? Does that describe my interactions this week with my spouse? Does that describe my interactions with, fill in the blank, whoever it is that you have relationships with, my extended family, my brother, sister, child, mom, dad, mother-in-law, friend at church, coworker, neighbor, whatever it might be, to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be slow to anger and slow to punish. Does that describe you? Does that describe us? As a society, does that describe our nation and our community? You know what we hear a lot of? Well, I just have a short fuse. Well, they got on my last nerve. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. We have all of these sayings that justify our lack of long-suffering charity, our lack of a biblical love for those that God has placed into our lives. And we think, I've got to get back at that person. We have in our society road rage. Somebody cuts us off one time and immediately we got to get back and we're going to get up on their bumper. What's that going to prove? And we're going to go by and we're going to honk and we're going to, you know, whatever it might be. But in our society, you have to be worried about that type of stuff. Why? We're not in general a long-suffering society. We're not a charitable society, a Christ-like loving society. But before we worry about society, what about me as a husband? What about me as a father? What about me as a pastor? What about me as a friend? What about me as a family member? We need more long-suffering charity with those that God puts into our lives. We need to be more helpful and less harsh. We need more compassion and less criticism. We need more patience and less punishment for those in our lives. I want to give you three simple thoughts, very practical, this evening. Number one, long-suffering charity. What are some characteristics of long-suffering charity? Number one, long-suffering charity forgives. Long-suffering charity forgives. Would you turn with me over to Matthew chapter number 18? Familiar passage. Jesus Christ teaching about the need for His disciples to be long-suffering and how that works itself out in their lives. Long-suffering charity forgives. Matthew chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 21. This is funny because you find out that you're not the first one that wonders how long you have to put up with somebody. Notice verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter says to him, okay, I need to know. You got to give me the breakdown here, Christ. How many times do I have to put up with this guy? Is seven times enough? I mean, that seems like a lot to me. What do we say in our society? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The idea being that I shouldn't put up with your shenanigans. I shouldn't let you hurt me more than one time. Once you hurt me, I should write you off. I should cut you off. In our society, it's like a wonder. Peter went beyond what we might do by nature. Peter said, how oft, how long that one that's injuring me, that one that's offending me, till seven times? That seems like a lot of times. They hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you, they hurt you. They hurt you, you forgave them six times. They hurt you, okay, I think I'm done. That makes sense humanly. Let's see what Christ said, and I think most of us know, of course, what He said in verse number 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. And then he drops the bomb on Peter here. But until 70 times seven. Judas was the treasurer. Hey, Judas, pull your calculator out. What is that? 70 times seven. I just said seven times. He's the one that counted all the money. Let me know. 490 times. Of course, we understand in the Bible, numerology, seven is that number of completion. Seven is that number of perfection. And it gives that idea. But 70 times seven. What's Christ saying? Forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And I'm pretty sure you get to about 50 or 100 or 200 or 300, you're going to stop keeping track. You know what Christ is saying? Charity suffereth long, and long-suffering charity forgives. Look at verse number 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. He's going to illustrate the long-suffering charity that we should have, the forgiving charity, says, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, he kept track of everybody, what they owed him and what they had done to him and what they hadn't. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Basically, he says this man owed him 10,000 talents and he couldn't pay. And he said, I want him to declare bankruptcy and his entire family is going to serve me their whole life. That's going to be their payment because he can't pay me enough. And it says in verse number 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. By the way, parables are heavenly stories with earthly meanings. There's a spiritual picture here that we are that servant that owes the 10,000 talents and we cannot pay, and we come and we bow. You see, it says he came and bowed before him and worshiped him. There's a picture there of us coming to Christ for forgiveness and us coming to Christ for that debt that we could not pay. And he says, please, would you please forgive me the debt? Would you please let that debt go? There's no way I could ever repay you to the Master. And salvation is exactly that. It's Christ forgiving us of that which we could never repay. And he forgave us beyond what we could ever, anything we could ever do to someone else. He forgave, the Bible says, we were singing it earlier, in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins and our iniquities will he remember no more. I might be getting ahead of myself in the notes there here in a minute, but he says those things and we come before him and he says, I forgive it all. And I believe there's a picture here in the parable. We are that servant that owed the 10,000 talents. And now look in verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Isn't that interesting? We have the servant, the Lord has forgiven this servant. Now he goes out and finds a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence, not even a fraction of a percent of what he owed his Lord. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, I promise. Give me some time. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. By the way, humanly speaking, that was an okay punishment. But based on how he had been forgiven, that wasn't an okay response. Humanly speaking, that man owed him and he wasn't going to pay him. He had the justification to throw him into prison. And may I say, humanly speaking, you and I have the justification to not forgive those that have hurt us, to not suffer long with those that do us wrong. But biblically speaking, based on what we've been forgiven, we don't have that right. Because charity suffers long, and long-suffering charity forgives. Notice he says in verse 20 and 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That's a rhetorical question, of course. And again, going to the parallel, the Lord, the servant, the fellow servant, isn't that where we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32? And be ye, what? Kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How often do you need to forgive? About as often as Christ forgave you. How much do you need to forgive? As much as Christ forgave you. How long should you suffer? As long-suffering as Christ is with you and as long-suffering as Christ is with me. And he says here, you should have had compassion even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts, notice this, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Who is it? We wonder why we don't have strong relationships, why our relationships blow up, why we don't have healing in our relationships, why we don't have strong biblical relationships. Do we have biblical charity? Biblical charity is long-suffering. It suffers long, and long-suffering charity, what's a characteristic of it? It forgives. Who is there that you have not forgiven in your life? They did you wrong. This guy owed him 100 pence. That was a real debt. That was a real payment that he owed. But he had no right to not forgive him. Who is it in your life you hold it against? There's a bitterness that eats away at you. You've not forgiven him. Maybe it's within the church, and maybe it's within the home, and maybe it's within the extended family. Maybe it's something from your childhood. Maybe it's something at work. And I'm not saying, humanly speaking, we don't have humanly speaking justification to not forgive. I am saying, biblically speaking, we don't. Because biblical charity suffers long. And what does long-suffering charity do? It forgives. Who is there in your life that you need to forgive? You've heard the quotes all before, but forgiveness is a gift that we give, and usually it's not for the one we give it to, it's for ourselves. Forgiveness sets, when we forgive, we set a prisoner free only to find out that prisoner was us. Forgiveness is something that is personified by Christ, is exemplified by Christ, and then is commanded by Christ. Who is it that you hold unforgiveness toward? We ought to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And may I just tell you, people have hurt you, and people will hurt you. Because that's what hurt people do. Hurt people hurt people. Fallen people hurt people, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. If you stay in this church for any length of time, I will probably hurt you. There's going to be something that I say that you disagree with, some way that I handle something that you don't like, maybe I did it on purpose, maybe I didn't, maybe it was you're justified and I didn't respond in a Christ-like manner and I should have been more long-suffering. If you stay in a body of believers for any length of time, another church member is going to do something to offend you. Another church member is going to do something to hurt you. If you live with a spouse for any length of time, they're going to do something to hurt you, and you know what our response is? Biblical charity. Charity suffereth long. We see the best, not the worst. We suffer long, and long-suffering charity forgives. People will hurt you in your family, at work, your friends, in church. When that happens, the answer is not the short fuse. The answer is not the straw that broke the camel's back. The answer is not, well, my wife hurt me, I guess it's time to get out of this relationship. Well, my parents hurt me, I guess it's time to rebel against their authority. Well, my parents handled this the wrong way, I guess I don't have to listen to them anymore. No, long-suffering charity forgives. Who is it in your life that you need to forgive? Number two, and I did get ahead of myself a little bit, but long-suffering charity forgets. Now, this is interesting because you've heard me say this before. Humanly speaking, that's not possible. When we say, but the Apostle Paul said forgetting. I preached that message. A good Christian needs a bad memory. Some of you are here. Apostle Paul said forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things. Now, we understand Paul didn't forget all that he had done wrong and all that had been done wrong to him. He talked about it. I put people to death. I consented to the death of Christians. He talked about it. I was stoned. I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I was persecuted for the sake of the gospel. He remembered what had been done to him, but he chose not to allow that to define his relationships that God had brought to his life. He chose not to continually revisit that. That's what it means to forget, if you will. The Bible tells us, again, I gave that, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, how do you explain that? God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. We don't serve an ancient, senile grandfather up in heaven that can't remember anything. He is an all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God. He's omniscient. So he knows everything, but then he says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. I believe that's in Hebrews chapter number 8. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, he that blotteth out transgressions and will not remember thy sin. The Bible tells us that he is long-suffering to usward, plenteous in mercy. I read that psalm to Brother Bob Keller yesterday, Psalm 86, and I believe it talks about that, how God is long-suffering to us, and plenteous in mercy. Long-suffering leads us to mercy, that is forgiving. He's long-suffering and he's plenteous in mercy. We ought to be long-suffering, which means we ought to be plenteous in mercy. Long-suffering, charity forgives, but then it also forgets. That doesn't mean, humanly speaking, you don't remember what happens. That means you choose not to allow it to define what happened in the past to define your future. You choose not to dwell on it. You choose not to revisit it. This can happen in a marriage. I forgive you. And then the next time something happens, well, you remember when you did that back there. Oh, no, long-suffering charity. What is Christ, the example of God, his long-suffering charity? He remembers our sins no more. I personally believe that means he blots them out. They're not there. He sees the righteousness of his Son, and he chooses not to bring that up on our account. Again, we as a human, it's not possible to forget, but it is possible to get victory and forget in the sense that we are not continually revisiting it, continually reminding ourselves, continually dwelling on it, holding a grudge, holding bitterness. It's a decision not to revisit. And then lastly, long-suffering charity forbears. Back to 1 Corinthians 13, where we were. 1 Corinthians 13. Last verse we'll look at here. Look at verse number 7. First three words, and we'll get to this in a couple of weeks in a little more depth and detail. But notice what it says in verse 4, the first three words, charity suffereth long. Verse number 7, beareth all things. It's interesting that Christ, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as Paul penned these words to the church at Corinth. And again, I remind you, this is not necessarily a romantic, we call it the love chapter. It's written to the church. It's written to a church as he's talking about the body of Christ. He says everybody has their own part to play. We're all different members, distinct members in one body. And then he says, he goes on, I think, because he understands if we're going to be together for a long time, we need to understand something about biblical charity. If you're going to stay in this church for longer than a year or two, and I'm going to stay here for longer than a year or two, we're going to have to understand something about biblical charity. So he's writing to the church, you need to get your love right. Now, they had some perversion in their church as well, and in the church at Corinth that they were dealing with. Paul dealt with in this letter. You need to get your love right. It needs to be a biblical charity. But it's interesting to me, after he describes charity, the very first characteristic he gives, charity suffereth long. It's long-suffering. It puts up with a whole lot. It's of a long spirit, not easily provoked, as we're going to get there in a little bit. But it suffers long. Long-suffering charity forgives. Long-suffering charity forgets. Long-suffering charity forbears. Verse 7, beareth all things. What that means, literally, is it puts up with a whole lot. Again, we say, I just can't do it anymore. I can't put up with anymore. That's when we say things like that. It's an indication we're not being governed by long-suffering charity. I can't do it anymore. They went too far this time. It's an indication we're not following 1 Corinthians 13 in our relationships, and that's why our relationships break. That's why our relationships blow up. That's why churches split. That's why people leave disgruntled. That's why people storm out of offices, and why people, they deal with something at work or at the home or whatever it might be. Why we why? Because our charity doesn't suffer long. My dad's getting ready to celebrate 30 years of marriage. I called him yesterday. We were on the phone talking to him as I was driving to the hospital to see Brother Bob. And I said, well, what's the secret, Dad? What's the secret of 30 years? He said, a short memory. And we were talking for a little bit, but really the secret is charity suffereth long. It forgives, it forgets, chooses not to dwell on, it forbears. It beareth all things, puts up with a whole lot. It doesn't have a limit. It suffers. I've had enough of you. I don't know about you, I've said all of the things that I've mentioned today in my dealings with people at times in the past. I'm on my last nerve. I can't handle them. They're doing too much. Whenever I say those things, charity suffereth long. It puts up with people and their failures. It puts up with people and their faults and their weaknesses and their shortcomings. If you do that one more time, charity suffereth long. And again, I'm not talking about kids. If your parents correct you, Pastor said charity suffereth long. You don't ever punish me ever again. That's not what I'm talking about. There are other Bible verses that deal with that. And so we're not talking, you know, kids are like loving this message. This is my favorite message pastor's ever preached. Charity suffereth long. But the Bible tells us that charity covereth the multitude of sins. Again, how's your long-suffering charity doing? Not to lose heart, to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, slow to anger, slow to punish. That relationship that you're considering giving up on, charity suffereth long. That person that hurt you that you can't forgive, charity suffereth long. That one that, humanly speaking, you're justified in not forgiving, charity suffereth long. Well, what's long-suffering charity look like, God? He is long-suffering to usward, plenteous, abounding in mercy. Long-suffering charity forgives. What does God's long-suffering charity look like in our lives? It forgets. Your sins will I remember no more. It forbears. Puts up with a whole lot. That's the way we're supposed to interact with those that God puts in our lives. Charity suffereth long. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these thoughts. I thank you for the songs that we sang tonight as a church. And I pray that each one of us this week would seek, dear God, to have that long-suffering charity. It's a little bit different of a room with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And maybe I don't know. I talked about somebody that you haven't forgiven. Maybe there's somebody within the church that you don't want to walk by them in the hall. That's not a biblical charity. Maybe there's somebody during this invitation you want to go over and say, I'm sorry, I've had a wrong spirit to you. I don't know. Maybe it's a husband and a wife. Maybe it's a child. Maybe somebody wants to, you can come forward and kneel here. You can kneel at your seat. But in the quietness of this moment, I'm going to ask Rebecca to play a song of invitation. Let's just spend some time in prayer asking God to help us to have that long-suffering charity that Christ showed us. Lord, I thank you for your long-suffering charity to usward. Your mercy, help me not to be like that servant that God has been forgiven everything and yet I won't forgive the smallest thing of my fellow servant. Lord, tonight just some simple practical thoughts, but I pray that it would change our interactions. I pray that it would change our attitudes. I pray that it would change our relationships. Help us, dear God, to have that biblical love, that Christ-like love that suffers long, is patient and kind. Help us, dear God, as we study through this chapter, would it change the way we treat our fellow servants? So often, God, I'm like that fellow servant in that parable. I've been forgiven everything, and yet I won't forgive the smallest thing. Help me to have that plenteousness of mercy. Help my charity to suffer long, I pray in your name. Amen.